T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More Gresh and Keefe right now on WEEI.
He kicks and he delivers. Swing. There's a long drive to right field. Deep toward the grandstand. Tucker looking up. It is gone into the grandstand. Grand slam. Kyle Schwarber.
Ding dong.
Here's the pitch.
Driven to left field. Way back. Is it high enough? Gone! It is a bloop and a blast.
Slider.
Drilled to left. Way back.
JD deposits left field, crushes this ball.
There's a drive to right field. On comes Renfroe, dives in. Did he trap it? Oh, he caught it. He caught it for the out that ends the ball game.
12-3 last night over at Fenway Park. Game 3 goes to the Red Sox. They're up 2-1 in the American League Championship Series. Kyle Schwarber with the grand slam, or as we have termed it here on the Gresh and Keefe radio program, the Magnum Dong. Of all the dongs that can be hit in baseball, the Magnum is the one you want.
They've got it going for them.
It's pretty amazing.
I did not expect 3 grand slams.
Ding dong.
So yeah, here we are.
3 grand slams in 12 innings of play. No, 11 innings of play, right? There was a second inning last night. You had 2 in game 2.
Right.
So it's 3 grand slams in 11 innings. That is worth the Elias look in of, has that ever happened?
Yeah, take a peek.
In Major League Baseball history. Well, we are going to segue into a little more Eddie Rodriguez discussion with you at 617-779-7937. And of course, we know your ears better be on. Your ears better be on. Hopefully you were listening today a little bit earlier.
Perhaps.
He swings and grounds one toward the middle. It boxed around. Bauer by Altuve, and another run scores. 2-0 Red Sox. He had a double play ball. It bounced up, hit him off the chest, and rolled into shallow center. His second error of the series.
Now, you know that's got nothing to do with Eddie Rodriguez, folks, but it is your signal to call and maybe go see Red Sox Game 5 tomorrow at 617-931-0937. So, in the last 2 postseason starts.
Yes.
Eddie Rodriguez, 11 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, 13 strikeouts, no walks.
That's great. I mean, that has been a key, and we've seen in some of these games, you know, the one that really stands out is the wild card game where the Yankees walked the house, and what a massive difference that is when you have a starter like Rodriguez. And even when we joke about them going 4 or 5 innings, he happened to go 6 last night, but still the no walks make him earn every single thing. And the defense, knock on wood, has been good. So you're not walking guys. Guys aren't reaching on error or by error. And coincidentally, you're winning games now.
And I know as we get to Eddie here in a moment, you mentioned the defense. And
yeah, I am pretty surprised by that.
Yeah. It has. So, by the way, they're halfway home, right? So if the goal is to win a championship,
yes,
right, not just get to the World Series and everybody feel good and, you know, peanut butter
point,
jelly time and all that.
You might as well win the whole thing.
Win the whole
thing. You might as well. Thing. You're there.
So they're halfway home to winning a championship. Right. And again, knock on wood, to this point, the defense has not reared its ugly head.
I know. And I think part of it is overall they have it lined up where you have Kike Hernandez playing center field, at least starting these games and for the most part playing center field. That makes your whole outfield defense better, and Arroyo at second base is better. Because before, Kike is kind of playing out of position, so your outfield's worse, now your infield's worse. And I think give credit to guys like Dever and Schwarber because they aren't great fielders. Schwarber, I mean, he's ever played first base.
He mocks himself.
He does, but he still makes a few plays over there. He's had a couple scoops over there that, you know, again, you wouldn't even blink an eye if it was Doug Benkevich or Anthony Rizzo or somebody like that. But with him, you're always like, oh, he made a play. All right, good. So I think they have the right guys in the right spots, or at least to the best of their current roster. So that is going to help, right? You don't have all these butchers out there like you did for many of the games in the regular season.
I hold my breath at third base every time.
I do too.
That's the only time. Because I figure that Schwarber's going to have, you know, a hiccup here, then, and there. And hopefully the Red Sox can kind of skate through that and it doesn't become a big problem. Now, we thought at one point in time during the year, Eddie Rodriguez, big problem. Eddie Rodriguez, last two starts, has really looked locked in and has been good Eduardo Rodriguez. So, if you're Heim Bloom, you may be considering taking the cheese and bringing him back?
It's going to come down to price, isn't it? Like, that's what it's going to be. Because,
but is it, though?
Yeah, I think so, because you're going to have to... You're going to have to fill out the, thank you. You're going to have to fill out the rotation some way, somehow. So you know that Chris Sale, for better or worse, is going to be a part of it, hopefully for the better. Mm-hmm. You know that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I think Nick Pivetta. I think Tanner Houck. And then who's the other guy? It's not going to be Perez or Richards. It's going to be somebody else. So is it some young guys, some free agent out there, or are you bringing back Rodriguez? And Joe Buck on the broadcast last night, he's like, he's 28 years old. He's left-handed. He throws in the mid-90s. And, like, ignoring the fact that he had a 4.74 ERA this year, he has a history of injuries. In 6 years in the majors, he's had 1 year of 200 innings. And, really, this year was his second most innings pitched, 157. So, he's had one great year in his career. I'm not paying through the nose for this guy. I'm not. And it's funny, you mentioned the last two playoff starts, the 11-plus innings and no walks. Yeah, there was another playoff start in there, too, where he didn't even get through two innings.
That
right?
is true.
So,
and maybe a part of it with Eduardo Rodriguez is the next starts to come in terms of him making a case.
Yeah, the longer they go, the deeper they play into the postseason, the better it is for Rodriguez. Because I even made the joke last night on Twitter, like, this game alone, he could fool some team into a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he did. You know, it's the showcase. You're watching him in the playoffs. And as we were talking to Buster Olney yesterday, everybody's aware in baseball that starters don't last very long in these games. So if Rodriguez, even with the up and down season that he had, he just went 6 against the Astros. That's got to be pretty good. Oh, he's not 30 yet? Somebody might fool themselves into taking him, but it shouldn't be the team that has seen him make every single start of his career. I don't want him. I don't.
Period.
Yeah, period, because he's not going to be free. Because like some of the stuff Joe Buck says, you can't ignore. He's not 30 yet, and he's a hard-throwing lefty. So those guys don't really grow on trees. But I'd rather take my chances somewhere else. I'm not taking the cheese on Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think with Eddie Rodriguez, the next two starts, if there are two, which I think there are going to be.
Well, if
for
there's
Eduardo
one more
Rodriguez,
in this series, I'm guessing it's a game 7, so that's not a good sign.
No, it wouldn't. Okay, but maybe two in a World Series. Because right now, if you're going to double up any two starting pitchers, it's going to be Eovaldi and Eddie Rodriguez versus, you know, rolling Chris Sale out there twice.
Right.
But I do wonder how many teams look at it and say, boy, I need a guy who can hunker down in the postseason like that, and it kind of jacks the value up. I did not think that the door would be ajar for Eduardo Rodriguez to come back. I think with this playoff run, and if it continues, I could see Heim Bloom sort of questioning himself. And it's a little bit of tied into the conversation that we had earlier in that the manager and the player have enough of a relationship.
Yeah, they do.
That the manager could, I would say inadvertently, maybe embarrassed Eddie Rodriguez on national television last night with his reaction.
Yeah.
But no one seemed to be butthurt afterwards. And is that a factor on the Eduardo Rodriguez side of things? If it's all equal, does he look at it and say, well, maybe I should just come back here because I know the manager, I know the town, and he, at least as of late, has been comfortable pitching in Fenway.
I was going to say, does the manager and the city and maybe even the teammates, does that, is it almost like the Boston Bruins mindset where he takes even a little bit less?
That's what I wonder.
Not nothing, but like take a slight less than, than going somewhere else.
If he can get 4 years for $80 million, $20 million a year, but the Red Sox are, we'll give you like four for 72. Does he say $8 million is more important than the comfort of being here?
Because I also think he would probably be a little hesitant of signing the prove-it deal, because that's essentially what this year was.
One-year deal,
like a one-year $20 million deal, but it's like, you're a free agent again. But, all right, maybe part of his struggles this year was the pressure of being in a contract year. So he might take a little less average annual in order to get the more guaranteed money. It's also a guy who's already won a World Series, so I usually factor in that, I want to go to a good team. Get paid. I wouldn't blame him at all. Whatever the highest bidder is.
This is the Powerball contract for him, right?
Even if it's the Detroit Tigers, take it. Like, whoever it is, this is your last major contract, because assuming it's multiple years, it's going to take you into your mid-30s, and then at that point, you're going to try to piece it together and maybe stay in the league, but this is his real only chance to cash in.
He's on a one-year deal right now for $8.3 million.
Right.
Now, does the playoff run jack that number up automatically? Does just going into free agency
Just being a starting
jack
pitcher,
that number up?
Yeah, just being a starting pitcher, a lefty starting pitcher, he can point back to... He and his agent will probably point back to 2019, where he was really good, and then say, hey, he had a health condition in 2020, so cut him a break. He came back, and you can kind of highlight the second half of the season, where he was better than the first half of the season, and then hopefully these playoff starts for him. Maybe there's one more playoff start where he looks pretty good, and some team, you've always sort of pointed Dave Dombrowski with the Phillies.
Yep.
There'll be somebody out there that has money that misses out on some of the other top free agents. It's like, look, we got Eduardo Rodriguez from the Red Sox. Look at this guy. And he'll probably not do very well for them.
Now, in his career, Eduardo Rodriguez, just for some perspective, folks, because I know to a lot of people who are listening who go out and work their ass off for however much money they have the ability to go make, that for a lot of people this sounds like funny money. But for seven seasons, Eduardo Rodriguez has, again, only made $19.5 million.
So right. He might make more next season than he did in those six.
There is a chance. That's exactly right.
Right.
That's just
the way the baseball contracts work. It's weird. Like, with the arbitration stuff, you are under control for that team for so long, and then they just, like, correct it in their way by giving you these massive deals. And it's just... triple the money in some cases, or it's so insane what they can end up getting when they're in their late 20s.
If you heard after the season that the Red Sox brought Eduardo Rodriguez back and the number was around $16 million per year, palatable or unpalatable?
See, I know he's a more premium position, but I would rather have Kyle Schwarber. Like, I feel like if they're like, hey, Rodriguez is, he's back, but we obviously can't sign Schwarber because of the luxury tax and blah, blah, blah. I'd say, well, I'd rather have Schwarber. You could play him in left field. You could play him at first base. You can DH him. You can do all these different things with him. He seems to be perfect for the city rather than an injury-prone pitcher who, again, you don't really know what you're going to get on a nightly basis.
And I know that we have a texter who said, LOL, 2 days ago you wanted E-Rod gone. Well, look,
I do.
And I know that we're only bringing up the question because if Eduardo Rodriguez is a big factor in the Red Sox either getting to a World Series or, dare we say, winning a World Series, this is going to come up again because recency bias is the thing that paralyzes sports and sports fans.
Right.
And there's going to be a couple GMs out there and one sitting at Fenway Park who at least has to stop and ask himself the question, do we let this guy go?
Well, now, 2018, they were very caught up in the World Series run. And again, for better or worse, the Nathan Eovaldi deal at first didn't look very good, but to his credit, he's pitched his ass off, and now it looks like a better deal. Chris Sale, now, they loved the guy for a lot of reasons, but they win a World Series. I think they got so caught up in it, they gave him an extension before they needed to, and that's been a mess. Chris Sale went from being the most underpaid pitcher for like an eight-year stretch to now, just based strictly on what he's given you and the injuries, maybe the most overpaid. He's never been properly paid in his entire career. And then don't forget Steve Pierce. Steve Pierce wins a World Series MVP. I say don't forget. We all forgot. Steve Pierce wins a World Series MVP. They bring him back.
Did
he even play a game? He was out there for a minute. He sucked.
He got free money.
But that was getting caught up in winning the World Series, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's where is Chaim Bloom, where for the first time in his professional life, maybe doesn't have an open checkbook, but if his thought going into the postseason was, well, I know Eddie Rodriguez is walking at the end of the year, I don't care, he now has the ability to at least stop and ask himself, okay, is this the right thing to do if Ed Rod continues to throw the ball well, which, again, is a part of the reason why this comes up. 1214 Aggression Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Matt Turner of the New England Revolution will join us at 1245.
So Steve Pierce was World Series MVP. He's a free agent. He signs a one-year deal back with Boston. At this point, he's 36 years old.
Oh, my.
$6.25 million. It's not a ton of money, but still, $6.25 million.
For that guy.
He played in a total of 29 games where he hit .180, and he went yard once. And that was just, again, that's not going to crush your luxury tax and all that stuff. But it was.
But when you top it with Mitch Moreland on that as well.
But
you know
also.
What I mean?
But you base bringing him back solely on the run and not anything else. And then so you got to use more of it. Now, at the same time, you could make the argument, well, Kyle Schwarber is really. But like, I think Kyle Schwarber has a little bit more of a track record. He was good for you at the end of the regular season. He's been great here. He just seems to really fit. And he's not 36 years old.
Well, and the other thing, too, is do you absolutely have Tanner Houck as a guy who is 100% going into the rotation? If you do, then that is a factor. Because a part of the reason that a guy like Steve Pierce got brought back was because there wasn't an answer for that particular year next year. And then you look at it and you say, okay, on a $200 million payroll, $6.25 million, not a big deal. But it is the philosophy. You do get paralyzed in the moment.
Right.
And that's why at least it had to be brought up. Because if there are two more starts for Eduardo Rodriguez in his future, regardless of series, and he goes out and he pitches well, that's going to be four starts when it's nut-cutting time, and it'll be very easy for another general manager to talk themselves into, this is what he can be, this is the missing piece, here's $100 million.
Right.
That's when Chaim Bloom pushes away from the table and goes, okay, we're done.
Oh, I think financially, them winning that wild card game and playing more games and not getting eliminated that night has helped Rodriguez as much as anybody. Maybe Schwarber, too, to a certain degree. Obviously, Kike Hernandez has turned into like a legend, but even he, I think, is going to max out on how much he can make. A 28-year-old starting pitcher is a little bit of a different story. He has the chance to cash in. I hope it's not here. And I don't know if, you know, Chaim Bloom hasn't done a lot of big spending, right, since he's gotten here. He's made a lot of moves. He's brought in guys like Hunter Renfroe and Kike Hernandez. But does he want to have one of his big money signings be bringing back Eduardo Rodriguez? I think he can shoot a little higher than that.
How big is tonight for Nick Pivetta in his future?
I think probably you got to say pretty big. He's done nice kind of converting and being a swing starter and a reliever. That extra inning game, I think he was great. And you could tell he just feeds off the crowd. Like, this guy's nuts when he's out there. He's fun to watch. He gets fired up and he's super into it. Because when they first got him in that Phillies deal, but a year or two ago, you're like, all right, he was like a top prospect for them, but never really lived up to it. And he, like a lot of the starters, had some pretty good moments this year, but then kind of found his level again. But now, yeah, he has a pretty big spot because all these guys that aren't really anybody besides Eovaldi, once they go, I don't think Cora is expecting them to get too many outs for him. So if he surprises people and goes out there and throws five or six innings, that's pretty good for him.
So I didn't realize this, but Nick Pivetta cannot become a free agent until 2025.
Nick Pivetta, really?
Yeah, this arbitration thing's insane. You're on a team forever.
So if you're the Red Sox, you're like, yep, sure, he can go into our rotation. Even if he's the fifth starter, he's not going to cost me a ton of money.
No.
So I wonder if he is earmarked and...
He had a better ERA and just two less innings than Eduardo Rodriguez.
Well, and does a good performance tonight also, because to your point, like the emotion, like Nick Pivetta looks like the kind of guy,
yeah.
Or maybe he has fooled us into thinking with the emotion on the mound that he's the kind of guy who would thrive in an environment like this, and that with a raucous Fenway Park, he wants to hear that a 2-2 pitch with two outs because he'd love to get a punchado and to be able to do the punchado in the air and kind of just feed off.
Well, that's the thing, because in the playoffs, again, you'll see those guys that aren't great. Players have awesome series or one-off games, and we talk about Buster Olney. Kike Hernandez right now is a great example of that. I think he's like a 240 career hitter. His OPS is like 7-something, and now he looks like a Hall of Famer in this series. He's hot right now, and you can even see it with pitchers at times where you're like, well, this guy's not great, but if Pivetta puts together a start or two, it's such a small sample size, it could pop at that moment, and now he could be added to the list of postseason heroes on the team.
Now, if you're the Red Sox, isn't it imperative tonight to just jump as much as you can on the garbage that Zach Greinke is going to be flinging up there?
I would say so.
I think the first two innings tonight could really end up determining the series in that. Not that Nick Pivetta is going to go out there and give you 100 pitches and 6 innings or anything like that. I think Pivetta hopefully will hold his own. But it's really about the offense tonight, in my opinion, because we saw what yesterday did. When that grand slam went over the fence and Fenway went mental and crazy. They went nuts, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That the whole mood changed. I thought it changed for the Astros. And when you got John Smoltz again, good Lord.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get into it. He had a misspeak in the open telling us that the Red Sox got shut out because they didn't have J.D. Martinez and da-da-da.
Or then he's talking about the DS, though.
But it was word salad.
Nah, he's not great.
But even when you have the Fox booth who are noting, well, Dusty Baker is hoping that the starter can at least get him through 3 or 4 innings tonight.
Yeah.
And then you hear the, oh, here comes Dusty. It was almost like you knew it was over.
And that's all they have now. Like without Lance McCullers, they have nothing. And we look at it and say, okay, Nathan Eovaldi, good. Chris Sale, he ain't right. Rodriguez is a roller coaster. And then the game 4 stars TBA. How can you win with that? But conversely, Houston's is worse.
Yeah.
Houston's is much worse. And so now here comes the corpse of Zach Greinke to save them in game 4.
He's like a zombie.
He's like a week away from turning 38 years old.
Man.
He pitched once so far in the postseason. It was in relief against Chicago. He went 1 inning. Didn't allow a run, but he gave up 2 hits. He only pitched once in the month of October, 2 1/3 innings. All of September, he had 2 starts. One went 5 where he gave up 8 runs, and one went 4 where he gave up 5. He is so far, he actually was putting together a relatively decent season, and then he got hurt, and then coming back, and now he's just, he's worse than Chris Sale. Like, I don't expect a thing out of Greinke tonight.
I don't. In fact, I would be disappointed if Greinke made it to the 3rd inning tonight.
Yeah, they should jump all over him.
This should be a... Yeah. Now, again, can Pivetta hold up his end of the bargain? I don't know. You'll get to hear it right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Pregame at 7:07. First pitch tonight at 8:08 p.m. for Game 4 of this American League Championship Series. And the other thing, too... It is evident that Dusty Baker just has no answers. Like, as much as it might be a move that could backfire, it looks like Alex Cora has plan A, plan B, plan C. If this happens, I know what I'm going to go to. I thought, first of all, and I'm not making fun of people who are masks or anything, but Big Dust had the mask on. I'm thinking, oh, it is cold.
He's also rocking, like, the gloves, like he's trying to hide his fingerprints.
I don't get that.
What's that about?
He looks like a very cold man.
That's definitely like,
does.
But it's like, it's not like winter gloves. It's like, don't touch the evidence gloves. What is he wearing, though?
Like
what
the ones that our friend the Felonious Footballer put on in court one day? Just the black gloves to cover up, and at least they fit his hands. But Dusty Baker...
Twitter world, yours truly.
In part, he looks clueless, but in his defense, that's a thing.
I know, there is part of that.
He's got no one to turn to.
And that's why, again, as much as I didn't like Cora starting Chris Sale in game 1, ultimately it may not matter because their hitters are so hot and Houston's pitchers are so in over their heads.
You ready? Game 1 World Series. Chris Sale, here we go.
it's working to this point. Why not?
Ride it out, baby. We will get to some Kiefer Madness coming up, but right now, here is Shime ready to trip.
Back to the the guys, Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
Kiefer Madness.
Where is Keefe? Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it live.
He's got a prosthetic leg. He can't move. He throws left-handed, and his right hand is a ham.
Jackson Pollock poop painting.
The take is from WEEI.
All right, here we go. It is a Tuesday at noon 30. That means it's time for Kiefer Madness here on Gresh and Keefe. And last week, Gresh, we told you a story about how in Maryland there are zebras on the loose.
That's right.
They are all over the place, and they have been for quite some time. And so the question is, how do you get them? How do you get them back?
Ted Cruz in a zebra outfit.
Who had them? Where are they going? What's the story there? So there's an update to this. Again, they've been out there for months. So even when I did the story last week, they had been out there on the prowl for a long time. But now it's time to find out what's going on. Is there an update? Yes, there is.
Well, I tell you what, our entire newsroom is pretty sad about this story. We just learned that one of the zebras on the run in Maryland has died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to be a downer here. I'm just reporting the news. Right? I didn't kill the zebra.
Don't kill the messenger.
Don't get mad at me. Although I wouldn't think zebra would be great in the Maryland area. Didn't feel like a home for them necessarily.
No, where would they eat?
And it's a whole
thing. Now I'm,
and there's a bunch of them.
Is there plenty of woods? Or they
I
just
think there's some woods
the
in some of these counties, but it's still a mess.
John Henry is here in the studio. We've been talking.
Excuse me?
Yes, I wanted to say that these zebras I'm very concerned about.
I've decided to come out of retirement and not be a billionaire anymore. I'm going to go back to the news.
I'm going to wrangle these zebras.
Well, it's not ideal.
It's one zebra at a time.
My first love.
John Henry is here in the...
John Henry is there that to is. Get these zebras back.
He probably owns zebras.
He probably could. Oh, God, please. That's nothing to him. Having a zebra is like having a goldfish for John Henry. He's got much more exotic animals than a zebra. This guy's probably got a snow leopard at his house.
No, that lives in the yacht.
That's true. I can't keep him on there.
John Henry is here in the studio. We've been talking about these zebras who've just been out there for weeks now. And now we're just learning of this.
Yeah, Leslie, the zebras of Prince George's County have been the talk of the D.C. region ever since they escaped.
Yeah. Sorry, football team. We have other things to talk about. Zebras on the loose.
When he said the zebras of Prince George's County, it almost sounded like he was getting ready to do a story about a flesh farm. Or the adult ballet. Head down to Zebras right next to Dossiers for the ALCS.
That's zebra sounds. Just educating the people.
Stop. That's the sound that zebras make?
Yeah, that's right.
You've never heard that before?
You obviously haven't.
Stop it, Jim Fowler. This guy Googles
I'm an
everything.
Amateur zoologist,
herpetologist
Fresh.
Yeah,
of course
over
he knows
here.
What they sound like.
Yeah, right.
So if you're in Maryland and you hear this.
Yeah, you heard
see,
that.
That's the problem. They all hear it, but they're like, Gresh, like, I don't know what that is.
I don't
is.
Know what that is.
What is that, a puppy?
Well, but Shime, apparently zoologists
sirens?
Knew not to eat one because it was a zebra.
They've been all over this, though.
Yeah, Leslie, the zebras of Prince George's County have been the talk of the D.C. region ever since they escaped from a farm in Upper Marlboro. There have been columns written about whether they can survive in the winter. Delegate.
You hear that? Columns. There's been multiple columns written about these zebras.
I got one locked and loaded for tomorrow morning. The whole zebra community is about to come for me.
Check out WEEI.com for
Mina
the latest.
Mina Kimes is going to talk about it.
How zebra stripes are overrated by John Anderson.
Yeah, you better.
Take
better
it from WEEI.
Christine Brennan isn't on that down there in D.C. Mina will be all over that.
Eleanor Holmes Norton even joked on Twitter that she was not behind their escape. Well, as you said...
Hilarious joke, by the way. I don't know. Just
she's not behind their escape.
I guess not. Doth protest too much.
Leslie, tonight we unfortunately must report that one of the zebras has died.
So they can't save them. They can't bring them back. They can't wrangle them. But now they're reporting on one of them dying.
The zebras originally escaped sometime around the beginning of September.
The beginning of September?
I'm telling you.
These things have been out for a long time.
Again, Johnston, Rhode Island. They couldn't corral a cow.
That's true. That's true. You can't trust these.
But do zebras have... I mean...
They're like horses with stripes.
But they can't hide as easily, can they?
I don't think so. I don't think they're magical.
A cow would blend in.
That'd be a unicorn.
Well, there you go.
That could fly or disappear.
And then if someone saw a unicorn, they're going to try to capture it.
They would try to
capture a zebra.
Right. Do you know what unicorn blood would go for?
Near the intersection of Belfield and Dooley Station Roads. But according to the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, their police officers were called to a private property on the 1,000 block of Dooley Station Road in Upper Marlboro last month on September 16th. Why officials have just released this news, we don't know. Either way, that's where the Prince George's Cat...
It's a cover-up. They got all these dead zebra, and they're not telling us about it.
They probably thought it was a prank.
Sitting there on that's true.
Yeah.
If you saw it, you wouldn't really believe it.
Somebody
painted a donkey?
Exactly,
what happened here?
Exactly, right?
Either way, that's where the Prince George's County Department of Environment found one of the three zebras caught in a snare trap that eventually died due to its injuries.
Terrible.
Oh,
terrible. You can't have snare traps. You can't have snare traps.
Now, if you're unfamiliar with hunting, this is what a snare trap is. It's a loop, usually made of a wire or a strong string that can trap an animal around its neck or body. Here's a video from the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks demonstrating its use on a teddy bear.
By
the way, the video, it's a stitch teddy bear. Like
it's
Lilo
outrageous. Yeah, it's outrageous. And then, so, like, there's this guy, like, taking the harness, putting it around, and then choking the life out of a teddy bear. Like, yeah, real nice. Real nice.
Yeah,
Thanks, guys.
My pap taught me about all that after some squirrel nuggets one day back in Western Pennsylvania.
Listen, you gotta do what you gotta do.
So you may be curious, are snare traps legal in Maryland?
I am curious.
But we can verify only in some places.
That's helpful.
Here we go.
Awesome.
Let's complicate it even more.
Source, the Maryland Department of Natural Resources says not only are they illegal in seven counties, including Prince George's, but the person who set them may face charges. They have yet to determine who that person is.
So... Yeah, they got no shot.
Now we got more people on the run. We got some guy on the run for setting a snare trap that caught a zebra. Meanwhile, the zebras are on the run as well, and the cops can't catch anybody down there. Oh, and by the way, in a jurisdiction full of crooks in D.C.
Correct.
There we go.
Yep. So we're really no closer to solving the problem at all.
So what are zebras doing in Maryland in the first place? Well, we've learned that the escapees are part of a herd of 39 zebras that were moved into a farm in Upper Marlboro at the end of August. We're told the owner has valid permits to keep exotic animals, but for months now, including tonight, we have not been able to reach him for comment.
This guy's he's on the lam. We haven't seen that guy. So he has permits for 39 zebras. They all got loose, and they're trying to track this guy down to ask him what happened to a zebra. They can't get a hold of him. And then somebody else killed a zebra, whether it was on purpose or not. They can't find that person. It's lawless. The whole place is lawless.
What is going on down there? And by the way, how do you go about... yes, sir, I would like to get a permit for 39 zebras like, that I want on a farm.
And then they're like, yeah, we'll sign that.
Yeah.
Leslie?
Yeah, we've been tracking this for a very long time, John. I know it's a sad development, though.
Yeah, the death.
Yeah, she sounds real broke up.
But that's the talk of the town. That's like with the number one news station. They wrote columns on it, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't guess that they sound like that either, I'll be honest.
The Howie Carr of D.C. has been writing about it. So now I just worry Big Teddy Bear is going to be aggravated.
I think they should.
They used the teddy bear as an example on that snare trap.
I would imagine they're going to be pretty upset.
Not for sexual reasons.
Oh, obviously.
Oh, here we go. Unicorns can't fly, Keith. Don't be an idiot. Only a Pegasus can fly.
Oh, okay.
Make sure to read that in the Napoleon Dynamite voice.
He's on to something there.
Unicorns can't fly.
Eat your tater tots, Tina.
There you go. You need Napoleon Dynamite to run this operation.
Yeah, we've been tracking this for a very long time, John. I know it's a sad development, though.
Right, it is. The death.
Sounds like she's going to do an investigative report on that in a moment, right? Real broken up about it.
One of the three zebras caught in a snare trap that eventually died due to its injuries.
So right now, there are two rogue zebras roaming around Prince George's County down in D.C.
Could be anywhere. And for over a month now. That was end of August. So... zebras out there.
You
can't get somebody to go get them,
right?
I don't understand that.
And the dude who has
the fishing
farm,
game, aren't they living for this stuff? Aren't they like just waiting for a day where there's wild animals on the loose? They can go bring them in.
And doesn't the zebra farmer have like a consigliere who would be the person that would really go wrangle them up and put them in the horse cage or whatever?
Not for sexual reasons.
A zebra shepherd.
It's like Billy Madison, the puppy that lost his way. It's like the part of the story I don't like with Slippy is when he gave up looking for the puppy after an hour. You don't just give up. You got to go out there and find that dog.
Nick, you would think that
if I lost 39 zebra, I wouldn't sleep until I got them back.
And don't
I'm not to put myself over, but that's the kind of guy I am.
But I also, like, and we'd have to ask our amateur zoologist here.
Great.
Don't they need to be in a warmer climate? Like, if these things
Seem to be a great spot for them, I'll
be honest. Right?
Yeah, they generally live on, like, savannas in, like, South and Eastern Africa.
How much, Shine, would you say each zebra would cost?
58 cents per head. I saw that coming from a mile away.
And you know what?
That's pretty affordable. And the pretty affordable zebra heads.
Well, the guy running that farm is only out from 9 to noon looking. He's only got so much time to be able to go out during the day.
Live.
He can only put in
Who five. Had more emphasis on their syllables? Me saying live or that reporter?
The reporter is pretty good.
Dak Prescott.
That's who we need to call.
How do we hope to find the zebras?
Live.
We are hoping to find them live. That is definitely true.
And there, folks, is your key for madness and your latest zebra update.
Shine, real quick, ALCS game 4 prediction.
Winning 9-2.
Matt Turner of the New England Revolution joins us for some communist football talk next.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe on EEI.
So we have a lot of fun on this show in many, many different ways, including the term that I've even used to the crafts when I was on the Patriots Radio Network for soccer. But we're not ignoring soccer because in our own backyard, the New England Revolution are doing big things. And joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, and Shimey's getting in on this with us as well. He is the goalkeeper for the New England Revolution, Matt Turner with Gresh and Keefe. Goalkeeper, right? Not goaltender. Goaltender's hockey, right? Goalkeeper is soccer. Listen, did I get that right, Matt?
That's how I like to look at it, you know, but it is what it is. If you want to call me that, you can call me that.
Well, there we go. Hey, thank you for some time, seriously. And look, you guys are as hot as a pistol. Looking at it from the outside looking in, I know very little about soccer, but I know you all are good. So why have you guys been so good this year?
I think, you know, it's a lot of things, but I think, you know, you boil it down to the core of guys that we have on this team and have had for, you know, the last few seasons, and our head coaching staff, you know. We've got a lot of guys that are producing this season, Carly Teal, Gustavo Bowe, Adam Buxa, Tajon Buchanan, and then a lot of veteran guys that we've been able to rely on to sort of steady the ship as well.
And Matt, for you, congratulations on all of the Team USA starts that you have had. I'm curious, how's that balance been over the last year of, you know, World Cup qualifying, Team USA events, and then coming back and playing with the Revs? How's that been for you?
Honestly, it's been challenging. It's not something that I ever thought I would have trouble with, but, you know, seeing it from the outside and then going through it actually is much different. So it's been challenging, you know, to be sharp on that razor sharp edge constantly, you know, when going back and forth. So right now I'm in a bit of a dip in form for myself, but, you know, it's all right. We're still getting some results and we're looking like we're going to, you know, hopefully finish first in the league, which will be a great little trophy for our supporters to rally behind.
Matt, to think at one point you were actually number one on SportsCenter's Not Top 10, and you have come literally full
Thanks,
circle.
Thanks, Sean. Hey, bringing that up.
This
That's
is a
nice.
Good thing. You've literally come full circle to being on a historically good Revolution squad, and you were named best goalkeeper at the Gold Cup. What has that journey been like for you?
Yeah, it's been amazing, honestly. But as a goalkeeper, I will say you're always living life on that edge. So even though I started there and I've been going to where I am right now, it's always possible that you could goof one game and end up back on that Sports Center. So it definitely it serves as a reminder for how far I've come over the years and how hard I've worked. You know, coming late to soccer, I started playing when I was like 14. So to go from then to now, it's truly amazing. It's like a fairy tale.
How has Coach Bruce Arena helped you out?
He's it's hard to put in words sometimes because he's really helped me with just finding consistency in my approach every day, whether it's training or games. You know, he has this approach to life where he kind of jokes around a lot, you know, off the field. But as soon as he steps over that white line, it's all business. And I think that a lot of our guys on the team have responded really well to that. And also, I always say this, but he makes it crystal clear what your role in the team is. And I think that that's a really special thing for a coach to be able to do. And letting people know their role while also keeping them happy is another just magic touch that he has.
Having played in some really high leverage situations already with Team USA, do you feel like you have like a bit of an edge as you're entering the playoffs for this Revolution team?
I would say so. Yeah, absolutely. You know, these one-off games, the World Cup qualifiers, you know, I've never been a part of games with so much emotion, so much on the line in my entire life. And, you know, not only me, but this team knows what it takes to get things done in the playoffs. Last year, we just squeaked into the playoffs, and then we had three wins in a row and ended up in the semifinals, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals. So we know what it takes to win in playoff games and big games, and we're looking forward to being able to do that at Gillette this year.
Matt, I'm curious from a team perspective and just a player awareness perspective. You know how good the Patriots have been. We know that the Red Sox are on a run. You guys might have a chance to host an MLS Cup game at Gillette Stadium. Do you and the team, are you aware of outside that we know there are the big brands, the Patriots, the Red Sox that are out there? And is it a focus? Is it a thought in the back of your mind that, man, we could really break through and put ourselves near them by winning a championship and by doing it at home? Is it something that you and your teammates are aware of?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's something over the past few seasons that we've been seeing more fans, more coverage by the media, by you guys. It's been really great for us. So I think we're starting to see the fruits of that, and we're just trying to capture it all. You know, soccer is a great sport to come to support. You know, it's 90-minute games. You know how long you're going to be at the stadium, free parking at Gillette, you know. You know, come out and support us, even if you've never been to a game before. You know, we're going to need all the people in the region cheering behind us. This team has never won a championship. We're probably the only Boston sports team that hasn't won a championship yet. So we want to get in that echelon of teams and get a banner hanging up at Gillette.
And Matt, speaking of Gillette Stadium, do you feel the difference on the field when you're playing on a football stadium? And I know the MLS, there's a handful of those out there, but then there's also the soccer-only stadiums, which might be a little bit more intimate, fans on you a little bit more. Can you tell the real difference when you're out there?
Yeah, certainly. You can feel a little bit of a difference. But for us, you know, Gillette's our home. So that's where we feel most comfortable playing. That's where we feel most comfortable playing the style that we like to play. And we've had a really good record to show for it this season. I think we've only lost one game at home all season. So, yeah, I mean, those soccer stadiums are great. The fans are really close to you, right on top of you. But when you're in the football stadiums, they're a little further back. Those football players are a little bigger than the soccer players, so you need to be a little higher up and further back to see over them on the sideline. We get that.
He is the favorite for the goalkeeper of the year in the MLS, Matt Turner of the New England Revolution. Matt, thanks for the time. We appreciate it, and hopefully we got lots of reasons to talk to you over the coming weeks. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Thanks, there we Matt. Go. Yeah, there are so it's Matt Turner, goalkeeper, Bruce Arena, coach of the year. Is it Carlos Gil? I'm going to make sure I say that right.
Carlos Gil.
He is the captain front runner for the MLS MVP award. So basically, there could be a ton of hardware coming to Gillette Stadium, but will the MLS Cup, the big one, be there?
That's the thing. It has eluded them. They were like the Buffalo Bills for a while. They made a bunch of final, and then
lost,
they would lose.
Three in a row. They're 0-5.
That was when Twelman was there, right?
Might have even predated Twelman.
I thought he was a part
maybe
of
Twelman
that.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Like Alexi Lawless. Remember they had like the early days of the Revolution.
Where they were out there making the big splashes.
But they're lapping the field right now. They're almost 20 points up on the second place team in the conference. They're dominating everybody.
I've got to tell you, if you're going to win it and you win it at home, around here, I think that makes a massive. If it's, you know, in wherever, L.A. or Miami or wherever they built the Columbus, where they built the soccer-only stadiums.
Right.
No, but you put it here, that's gonna get on the radar to a lot of people who maybe don't pay attention to the Revs. If the Red Sox win tonight, are they not leaving town until the World Series? That, and we're on to the Jets. Final hour of Gresh and Keefe next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.